Gorišta.
Gorišta, okay. Randall.
Gorišta.
Gorišta.
So, Hannah, where are we? Chapter 29?
No, chapter I think we're on 30.
Okay.
At least I had it on top, so I think we finished with the other one.
That's what I thought we were as well.
Right.
The handout is available.
Marco.
The handout is available on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 11, the second column from the left. When the landing page opens up, scroll down to class number 29. And you will open up that class. It opens up to chapter 30, section 1, which has the title of The Sparks of Adam's Wings. And I'll begin with a Lashem Yehud. Lashem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkike bidhilu urhilu udhilu udhilu urhilu. Leakta l'shem yudhe b'vathe, v'yehuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limun Torah mitzvah, lasok Torah mitzvah, v'ayhino amadot nai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'neneihu. The Sparks of Adam's Limbs, Chapter 30, Section 1. Regarding the performance of mitzvot, it is important to know that every limb from the 248 limbs of the soul of Adam includes its own set of 248 limbs. Every individual spark contains something from the entire limb. This is an unwritten commentary, but essentially it's saying the same thing that you say about the Sephiroth, except this is talking about the parts of the body. There are 248 parts of the body, which are being called limbs in this section. And within each limb, there are 248 components of that limb. So one example of that is the eye. Modern science has identified approximately 20 components for each eye, when in reality there are 248 components of the eye. When they realize they have 248 components, they will be able to cure all of the diseases. And in the meantime, we can cure it with teshuvah once we identify the cause of that disease in that individual. Continuing to read. This will be an explanation as to why it is not sufficient for a person to perform only those mitzvot that are relevant to his root. For just as each limb incorporates something from the 248 limbs, and so every limb is obligated to fulfill all 613 mitzvot, so too does every individual spark contain something from the entire limb, and is therefore commanded to fulfill all 613 mitzvot. That is a comment by one of the sages who wrote a book called The B'nai Aaron, The Children of Aaron. Therefore, the entire posture of Adam was dependent upon it. Thus, for example, someone who comes from the shoulder limb includes 248 limbs from head to heel. The entire macrocosm is included in the microcosm, as it says, man is a small world. Therefore, a person is obligated to say, the world is created for me, and accordingly, to seek to fix it. Since man is actually includes in himself all aspects of all parts of existence, working to perfect himself is a method to fix the entire universe. That's a very important statement that we need to understand. This is an unwritten comment, but when you fix an aspect of your character trait, your midot, you used to get angry and now you no longer get angry. Not only did you fix yourself, but you fixed any animal that you own. You fixed any plant that you will eventually consume as food. The same applies to the animal. And you will fix any material item or immaterial item that you will ever own. And there are other aspects of all three of those worlds that get fixed whether you own them or not. But it's difficult to know about those. But things that you own, things that you will own in the future, are all fixed by your correcting anger in your character traits. That's just an example. Continuing to speak. Continuing to read. Someone whose soul is specifically from the heel of the shoulder does not have to rectify the entire shoulder and all its defects, just the level of the heel itself. However, if a soul spark from the level of the heel caused a defect, then all the sparks of the heel do have to rectify this blemish. Since all of the sparks of the heel are interdependent, when the entire heel is rectified, then not one spark will have to reincarnate to rectify any defects for the rest of the sparks of the shoulder. Furthermore, if a spark from the heel transgresses in such a way as to necessitate reincarnation to rectify the damage, it will do so with another spark from the heel to help him rectify it. However, if the transgression was one that results in the destruction of the body, meaning a karet, excision, but being cut off, then that spark alone will reincarnate into another body without a partner, while the first body will be destroyed. He will continue to do so until he completes all of the 613 mitzvot. If, however, he has to reincarnate only to make up for a mitzvah yet to be fulfilled, then he will not need to reincarnate with another spark. He alone will reincarnate into a second body. Thus, he will continue to do so until he completes all of the 613 mitzvot. At the time of the resurrection, all the bodies will return and take the portion that was completed while in them. More than one body of the same person can resurrect. Each one will contain within it the sparks that were rectified during its specific Gilgul reincarnation. My commentary. The reading of this section comes across as confusing, yet it is not. Each person needs to complete each mitzvah. Sometimes one spark may not need to do another mitzvah, yet if this is true, it is better to try to do all of the mitzvot, since one cannot be sure that that is correct. If one cannot do a mitzvah, then one will be given credit for the mitzvah through Torah study of that mitzvah. If one needs to do a mitzvah each and every day, then it is good to do that mitzvah even each and every day. If they missed a day in a previous Gilgul, then they will be given an opportunity as an Ibur on that given day to do that mitzvah. This explains sometimes that desire to stay in bed and not get up to do the morning prayers and other activities. It is better to think and not decide to think. Just do actions with the proper consciousness. That's the end of section one. Are there any questions? Reincarnation to complete a mitzvah. Chapter 30, section 2.
I'll ask a question.
Go ahead, Jack.
I'll ask a question. So, does the resurrection always apply to someone who is dead and buried from a grave? Or is it other things as well?
Part of your question you broke up, so if I don't answer it, please just
What I said is, does the resurrection always apply to a body that is dead and buried, or is it going to be defined in other ways?
The resurrection is applying to bodies that are dead, that have been buried. But those bodies that are dead and buried, the souls that were in those bodies are also being resurrected. Those bodies that are resurrected are only going to be inhabited by the soul sparks that completed a tikkun within that body. So the marriage of body and soul will always be consistent. There will be multiple bodies of the same soul because the multiple incarnations, everyone typically makes at least one correction in every incarnation. But if a body did not make, or a soul-body combination did not make a correction at all of the years of their life, then that body will not resurrect. The soul will resurrect in a different body that's consistent with the reincarnation and the correction of whatever was not done in the body that had died and will never resurrect. But the majority of people will always resurrect because at least one correction takes place in every lifetime. Did that answer your question?
Yes, very well.
Good. we're going on to the next section, section two, reincarnation to complete a mitzvah. We will now explain another difference between one who must reincarnate to complete a mitzvah and one who does so to rectify a defect. What that statement is saying is the positive mitzvot, you have an action to do. The negative mitzvot, you don't have to do anything except not do that, not break that rule. But if you did break that rule, then you must reincarnate and fix the rule, fix the action that broke the rule. If a spark completely rectifies its souls, then all sparks that preceded it become revealed. If a spark from the heel completely rectifies its souls, then all the sparks of the heel that preceded it become revealed to it and illuminate it, giving off light in one body in the secret of Ibur, the pregnant soul, and they help it in all its ways of serving God. If he sins, they are removed from him. Heaven forbid. So we see that the effect of actions is collective. It is like putting money in a bank. Every little bit is never lost and adds up. The result of this ends in a great withdrawal. What he does and the amount of the or level of mitzvah he performs determines how many sparks will be revealed to him. The level of the sin or the amount of sins determines how many sparks will be withdrawn from him. It is the same if he rectifies his ruach or his neshama. Thus, according to his good deeds or bad deeds, the sparks will either draw close or be distanced from him. There are those which will encircle him from afar, and some come close, hovering from above. Spiritual proximity goes after similarity. One magnetizes or distances energies according to who he is. If one manifests good, good energies are magnetized according to how much force of good manifested, and also the opposite is true. The one who caused him to sin will be within to help rectify it. If we were talking about a spark from the root of the heel, which lacks a certain mitzvah, and must reincarnate with another spark from its root, it will only do so with a spark that is the most similar to it, of all the sparks of the heel, even though they are all from the root of the heel. Likewise, if a person causes another to sin, even though they are not from the same root, still they will have to reincarnate together. The one who caused him to sin will be within to help rectify it. This is a case of spiritual responsibility. One is not only forbidden to damage someone else's body, but also forbidden to damage their soul. And just as if one did do the physical damage, he must pay and make compensation. So it is with soul damage as well. My commentary. Please note that the good deeds and the negative deeds are not weighed against each other. Each mitzvah stands on its own. This is something that people need to realize. Yet at the same time, each soul spark from a part of Adam's body has mutual responsibilities as well. In other words, Each soul spark comes with two actions to do. One is something that only they can do, and one is something that many people can do. We never know which is which, and so we need to make the effort wherever we can. This is a true teaching of the spiritual levels created by the essence of creation. This is too long a subject to discuss in this section. We will learn more about this as we continue our learning about reincarnation. That is the end of section two. Are there any questions? Section three, intermingled souls. We explained previously that every limb of the 248 limbs of the soul of Adam is a root unto itself and includes countless soul sparks. Nevertheless, when Adam and his wife Chava sinned, as well as Cain and Abel, their children, all the soul sparks became mixed together. Accordingly, sparks of Adam combined with those of Cain and Abel, and sparks of Abel with Adam's and Cain's, etc. Rabbi Auerbach comments, Abel, who was murdered, also sinned, for there is no death without a sin. The Zohar states that he gazed improperly at the Shekhinah. My commentary. The Ari goes on to explain this as Abel also brought a sacrifice. At his level of being a righteous person, a tzaddik, he was judged to a hair's breadth to indicate that he should have known better. Thus, he needed to put priority to his spiritual work rather than the physical pleasures that he was inundated with. All mistakes are drawn from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The reason for this is that all mistakes are drawn from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Its outstanding quality is the mix-up. The chief component of the rectification process involves straightening out the mess and separating each thing to its proper place. My commentary. The sin mixed good and evil on many different levels, and that is the correction to separate good and evil. Therefore, we need to appreciate the diversity of the creation and at the same time keep things separate without causing evil to be harmed, since what is evil has a purpose in the plan of creation. It is very difficult to understand this, and when corrupted by the Western world, we lose sight of this. As an unwritten commentary, after we say the Anima Koach in many of our classes, we separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. The reason we do this is this understanding of the mixing of good and evil, the mixing of the character traits, the mixing of the sparks of souls. Continuing to read, one of the main themes of the Sha'ar HaGilgulim is to learn about and understand the mix-up. This in itself is a great step to fixing it up. Therefore, sometimes the nefesh of a person will be from Cain, but the ruach comes from Adam. But once they mix together, they bond. Sparks of Adam often come together with sparks of Cain. The ruach from Adam and the nefesh from Cain. It is the same matter with respect to the neshama, with the ruach and the nefesh. Thus, if a person works to rectify his nefesh, which happens to be from the level of Cain, until it literally becomes similar to the ruach from the level of Adam, then this ruach will enter and become clothed by this nefesh. This applies even though they do not come from the same source and type, one being from Adam and the other from Cain. Good things can come out of the tumultuous journey of things being out of place. Good things can come out of the tumultuous journey of the haphazard ride of things being out of place. New connections are made that provide new angles and end up enhancing the soul's own forte. My commentary. The United States prides itself on being a melting pot. That is what is being expressed here. Yet we need to separate the levels of souls. The pride of the melting pot puts mixtures of souls together, which causes things to be out of place. A soul relates to its home location and actually feels out of place when it is out of the home location. It is not really confusing, just seems to be. The combination of souls will continue until Mashiach and Elijah's coming, at which time everything will return to its proper root. From that time onward, the ruach from the level of Cain will join with the nefesh that is similar to it from the level of Cain. And the ruach from the level of Adam will unite with the nefesh from the level of Adam. The admixture within the tree of knowledge caused that everything became disjointed and then improperly mixed. Sparks were forced to lend themselves and join others of a different source. The tikkun involves restoring each spark to its rightful root. A person may have to go through phases that require him to do things not according to his essence. At such times, he can be fortified by the knowledge that these are only steps that lead to achieving who he really is. This is the secret of the verse, "Behold, I will send to you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of Hashem. He will restore the hearts of fathers to sons, and the hearts of sons to fathers." In other words, he will return each soul to its proper root. Understand this well. The intrinsic truth of God's existence and sovereignty will then be fully manifest. The way must be paved before the great awesome day. The intrinsic truth of God's existence and sovereignty will then be fully manifest. Therefore, Elijah comes to distance falsehood and to bring truth close. The great revelation of truth will magnetize each thing back to its source. Fathers symbolize the source level. Children symbolize the offshoots. Fathers indicate the beginnings, the first reincarnation. Children symbolize each additional Gilgul or reincarnation. Each one will reconnect to where it truly belongs. This needs to be well understood, how not to be discouraged when a person sees himself operating out of character in many ways. Also, when one sees things around disjointed and out of place, this could include foundational things, such as having the wrong business partner, working the wrong job, having the wrong mate, etc. As long as he adopts the quality of Elijah and acts out of truth, he is guaranteed to merit to return to his true self and eventually act outside in a manner that is truly congruent to who he is within. Along with this root alignment, fitting connections will manifest and be restored. The reason why Elijah will do this is because he himself is a combination of souls, his nephesh coming from the level of Nadav and Abihu of Cain, as we will explain later. His ruach came from another level, although I did not learn from my teacher from where. There are many other issues regarding this matter. Elijah comes from a great level of perfection. His awesome soul root stood before Hashem before creation. In order to afford him the ability to reach down to the world's problems and fix them, he was also set up in a problem. Many times this idea applies to every person. Things that are intrinsically wrong for him are actually part of his tikkun in order to fix the universe. As mentioned, the person needs to know that this ends up expanding his own horizons. My commentary. It has been 70 plus years since the end of the Shoah. The Shoah was a time of chaos, an admixture on the earth, and also in the frame of reincarnation. That is part of the confusion in our generation. It is only when you listen to your intuition that you will know the correct path, what is right for you to do. That is the end of the section. Are there any questions? Do you want to go continue on to chapter 31, or would you like to take time to absorb the information that we've just gone through? We have plenty of time, but my thinking is that the next section will become confusing unless we absorb what has been said in this chapter 30.
I would like to have the time to review.
Okay. Anybody else want to make a comment?
What was the comment? I didn't understand it because it broke up.
I believe Malta said that she would like to take the time to contemplate what had been taught so far.
Well, that was my choice, too.
All right. So we will call the class now. And if you have any questions, feel free to ask them on Wednesday night at the 7 o'clock West Coast time class. I wish you all a good month, reminding you that every day we will be doing Slichot at 7 a.m. West Coast time, starting tomorrow. I may be My children have said they're coming over, so I may be either late or I may have to skip the Slichot on Monday, but we will do it every day. And if I'm not there, it's important that you do it for yourself. And you know where the Slichot ritual is online in the unique astrological times link. Shavuot Tov. I hope you all have a wonderful week. Shalom Gadol to all.
Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you. Enjoy your family.